my gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I am nothing but an attention-seeking time bomb, a disaster waiting to happen.
Are you saying that's me, Lou?
Am I an attention-seeking time bomb?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Boy, I'm getting a hiss in my headphones. What is that sound? I mean, oh, that's why I turned it up too high. Sorry, guys. Go back and check our levels, Lou. Go back to the output.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, Lou. It's okay. You can sleep outside again tonight in the frigid, frosty cold.
I cry like a little girl.
It is Thursday, I think it's the 10th. Is it the 10th or 11th? 11th of November, 2010. The clock ticks away like sand through an hourglass over the days of our lives. And we are creeping one day closer to the battle, which means one day closer to victory. And we're here live on the Dutch Jones radio program. It is about 5.03 p.m. Pacific time. If you're listening at another time, please don't call. I mean, the odds are nobody will be in the studio. But if you're listening live, you can call. There is a phone number, and I'll give it out here in a little bit. We had a bunch of calls yesterday. That was great. I like getting calls. We found out about swamp gas on Venus and as an explanation for the missile. So feel free to call in. We crave your input. And we're going to continue today's show talking about more things that we've discovered today. I've spent on the phone and on the Internet all day chatting with people. Because of yesterday's show, all kinds of people got information they want me to share, so I had to verify it. I don't just want to get an email that says, yeah, aliens are living in L.A. and they're going to bite the heads off everybody over 2 years old and raise the infants as their own. If you send me that email, I'm not going to read it on the air unless I get, at least Lou okays it. But we did a lot of that today. So the phone number is 559-561-8225. That number, once again, for all of you people on unemployment. 559-561-8225. A little bit of fallout from yesterday's show. I didn't get the usual volume of mail that I get, which is funny. We had a lot of listeners, a lot of participation, so I guess you guys agreed with me on most of what we were talking about, or at least accepted the fact of the things I was putting forth. I thought I was going to get all this, oh, no, that's not true, none of that's going to happen, yeah, but I didn't get any of that. I welcome it, especially if it's educational. I do welcome challenges to anything that I put out here, especially if it is wrong. I want to get things right. So I thank you for the few emails that I got today. It was weird. Usually I get a couple hundred. Today I got less than 60. You guys are busy. Maybe you're out going to hardware stores and buying up all the supplies and going to the grocery store and getting all the spam. Maybe you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Maybe that's what I should be thinking about, that you guys are just doing the right thing and you're listening to me and all the bigger voices out there. Chuck Baldwin and all those guys telling you to get your stuff together. So maybe that's what you're doing. I got to get back to the room here. We got a small contingent today. Let's see. We've got Scotty38. Thank you very much. Your stuff, we were going to mail it today. Then we realized it's Veterans Day and all government offices are closed. So we put together a nice little box with the – what was the video that we put together, the series? Split Second Survival, which is Larry Wick's system from Alaska. And great. Which one was this knife?
It's the weapon series.
The weapon series. So you're going to get that for answering your question, right? That's doing that. And Olima's in there, our staff archivist. Of course, the lovely Mrs. Dutch Jones sitting here to my right. Are you playing Tetris or something over there?
No.
I was just looking through her emails. And of course, Lewis to my left. We have a studio audience. Rocky Hill and Debbie are here sitting behind me. I can see the reflection, I think. Where'd they go? Yeah, there they are. If I move like that, I can see them in the studio glass in front of me. But they're behind me here. Let's see. I got. I did get some alien stuff. You know, sent me. That's why I was making jokes about it. It's not that kind of show, folks. Steve Quayle's out there. Coast to Coast will handle that. You'll get a much larger audience. But I'm just here right now to talk about the pending collapse of our society, the lack of faith of this nation, the turning away from God. That's what I deal with. If there are aliens, I'm going to answer the two or three that I got today. If there are aliens, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it. I don't, you know, it's not going to ruin my faith if some green slime ball comes down here. I don't know. We'll see what happens when it comes to it, but I'm not going to suddenly go, oh, I can't believe in God because of this. Aliens. There, I deal with another kind of alien, the illegal type. And that's more fun. Facebook's been very active today. If you don't know, go to Facebook.com, look up Dutch Jones, and you can see all the stuff that we're posting here. Oil went over $88 a barrel. Now, you may be saying, yeah, but it was like a buck forty, $145 a barrel last summer or summer before. Well, 88 is just the excuse me. Took a deep breath there and got some dust. 88 is just the beginning. I remember Lindsey Williams said it's going to go up and up and up. Right now, the G20 are meeting. That's where Obongo is now in South Korea, and they're slapping him around. You know, why did you let the dollar get so bad? Why are you doing this? Of course, Obongo's not in charge. He's just a puppet of the New World Order with the hand of the power elite firmly planted up his behind. And he's just taking the beating for what's going on there. So they're talking. It started out this morning. We're going to find common ground. We're going to figure out how to save this global economic crisis. And then the oil started going up. Gold went up a little bit. The stock market started to go down. By the end of the day, it was other nations saying, you want a trade war? Now, those of you that don't know what a trade war is, that's when they start to embargo things, when they start to put up high tariffs. Just prior to World War II, we had a good old-fashioned trade war. Just prior to World War I, we had a good old-fashioned trade war. It's a modern tool of industrial nations. They need raw materials to make widgets so that we buy them, and they're like, we won't buy your stuff. And everybody suffers. The Great Depression triggered a lot of those because of the protectionism that the U.S. had. They did it wrong. I'm not against protectionism. We need to protect our markets. The trade imbalance that's out there now was triggered by and put together by the power elite, the New World Order, to destroy America. They didn't like it. They don't like the way America was working. It was too powerful, too much based on the individual rather than the collective like they want. And so now the G20, these 20 nations, leading nations economically, are just like, it's funny, I'm not an economic genius. I'm just reading things and putting it together. All the theories that I came up with 3 or 4 days ago are being proven in the media and by people much better than me at understanding this stuff. The 20 nations are trying to figure out what denomination of money to use for trade. They're talking about walking away from the dollar. If they walk away from the dollar, all you people that have your faith in the Federal Reserve note and your pillows are full of dollars, not going to be worth anything. Not going to be worth anything, just like I predicted. The depression that we're heading for will be a global depression, and it will be much worse than the one from the last century. I don't want to sound like a Chicken Little or even be saying I told you so, but these things are happening. The dominoes are tripping, just like other people have said they would. Things that the small parts that I came up with that I kind of had a common sense approach to it. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. I'm not a commentator. I'm a plain old potato tater guy, but that's it. Now they're trying to come up with some ideas to cut the deficit. You know, when he left, Obongo left. He left behind this bipartisan group and said, "Okay, guys, what are you going to do? We're not going to extend the Bush tax cuts." Which, okay, the Republicans are calling that a tax increase. The Democrats are saying, "Well, we're just returning it back to where it needs to be." Everybody's demanding that somebody do something. Well, they're going to do something. All you people that are complaining about your tuition going up at your state colleges, that a bag of potatoes costs too much, that they're going to put up interest rates, they're going to try and raise interest rates, they're going to manipulate the system, but they have no idea what it's going to do. It's a beast. And it'll run rampant on its own until the power elite hits certain stopgap measures. But in theory, it's just a beast. And so some of the things you're talking about are increased taxes, huge cuts in benefits, Social Security, raising the retirement age for Social Security, raiding your retirement funds. They're going to go after them and say, look at the corruption in all the retirement funds. Ooh, we're going to seize that and manage it for you. Now, both sides, right and left, are fighting over this. They're going to try and cut the deficit by at least $4 trillion over the next decade, which after yesterday, what did I say it was? $45 trillion? Are going to take 10 years? By then it'll be $80 trillion? So what difference does it make? What they're doing is a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing for a solution. But in the reality of it, in the short term, it's going to hurt you bad. The pain's going to come down on you guys. And I say you guys because I don't have any money invested. We can live off the land where we're at. It won't be fun at first, but if my forefathers could have done it in Africa and then in the United States, because my people didn't settle this country. They came after during your Civil War and fought on the side of the South and then came out later. Everything was pretty much coast to coast. Manifest Destiny was over. But in South Africa, my ancestors went into tribal areas and built farms and did something with the land. If they can do it, why can't I? Why can't I? Now, they haven't released all the recommendations yet, and the chairman acknowledged their plan was so controversial that it's dead on arrival, but they said putting it forth would prompt more realistic national debate. So basically, they're going to hit you with the horror story. They're going to say, okay, massive inflation, $25 for a loaf of bread, that's why they're getting you ready for that. And then they're going to say, okay, your retirement funds are raided, we're going to take over health care, we're going to take over the banks. And that's how we're going to do it. It's a Hegelian dialect. They're going to take everything, end up only taking half of it, and you're going to think you're getting a deal. You are. I guarantee you can say, hey, well, it's not as bad as it could be. And meanwhile, Obongo's over in Korea getting his butt kicked, trying to explain why we're doing what we're doing. It's, even the other countries are stupid. They don't realize this is a global plan to destroy liberty for everyone. Under the chairman's proposal, Medicare spending would be curtailed. Tax breaks for many health care plans, too. So all you people with those health care accounts that everybody recommended you get, they'll raid those. And the Pentagon's budget would suffer as well, and a plan that attaches for every dollar spent in tax increases that they get, they're going to have to cut $3. So if the Pentagon wants to get $1 trillion in tax money, they're going to have to cut $3 trillion. So a 3-to-1 ratio. They're not going to do it. It's going to be on paper. The soldiers are going to suffer. They'll take away their bullets and stuff like that, but the Pentagon's still going to get its money. Research and development will still go on because the military complex will still be fed because it's a beast. Now the member of this committee, let's see here. Oh, this is good. Current deficits require the government to borrow 37% of our operating budget. That's what they claim. It's not true. So for every dollar they spend, 37% of it's borrowed from another country or borrowed against you. Bowles, who's on the committee, said that this debt is like a cancer that will truly destroy this country from within if we don't fix it. Well, no kidding. That's Erskine Bowles. He's a senator from Wyoming, former senator, and Alan Simpson, and he are co-chairman of President Barack Obama's financial guys. Both New World Order guys, both CFRs. You know, they're not going to do anything that their masters don't tell them to do. But they're gonna make you think you're getting a deal. Right now in California, there's protests going on because they're raising tuition to our state colleges 15% this year and I think 15% next year. The free ride is over. Everything that happened in Greece and is going on in France and a couple other places is about to start here. I thought it would wait till after the new year, but I think it's going to happen in the next few weeks. The difference is our people aren't getting violent. Maybe that's all the fluoride in the water. I don't know. But they're going to have to trigger violence to get what the government's going to have to trigger violence. Infiltrators will get into these. Natural infiltrators, the anarchists, the illegal aliens, they'll get in and try and exploit it. And it's going to get ugly. So you people need to start getting ready. And I'm not even through half the stuff that I wanted to share with you this first half hour. Let's see here. No one's expecting any quick action of any of the parts of this plan. Proposed cuts to Social Security and Medicare are making liberals recoil, see? And conservative Republicans are having difficulty with options suggested for raising taxes. The plan also calls for cuts in farm subsidies, foreign aid, and Pentagon's budget, as we said. Now I want to deal with the first two of those, the farm subsidies and foreign aid. But farm subsidies first. I don't know if you guys remember the 70s. When the dollar was going through the floor, interest was 22% on a housing loan, on a 30-year housing loan, 22% under Carter and all that. lines for fuel. The farmers were butchering their animals. They couldn't afford to feed them. They couldn't sell them under price controls. Price controls are coming, folks. Price controls and wage controls, that's a tool of tyrants. It's a tool of democracies, which are oligarchies or mob rule. So we saw them before. We've seen them in other nations. They're doing them overseas in Greece right now. And what's the result? Violence in the streets. There's a report already of a pig farmer in upstate New York. Maybe Scotty can help us with this. He just let all of his animals die because he couldn't afford to feed them for the prices that pork's at right now. I don't know if pork's really low. We eat a little bit of pork. Now, I like pork on my fork just to offend Muslims and Jews, but it's symbolic meal. And you're going to see more. Farmers here are watering their cotton with milk. There are price controls on milk already. And at it's about $2.10 a gallon for milk here. Is that what we were seeing at the store? That's unrealistic.
Well, up here it's almost $5.
Yeah, here where we are it's $5 a gallon because it's a tourism town. But I'm talking about down in the valley. So farmers were watering their crops with milk. Because they can't get water, so they might as well use the milk. It also is going to raise retirement to age 68. Not for you guys now, but people that are going to retire in 65 and, or excuse me, in 2050 and 2075. 2075, they're going to raise it to 69. It's the benefit of that modern medical industry. You know, you're living longer, they're going to make you work longer. So for those born in 1960 or after, a full retirement age is now 67 for full retirement, just to give you a point of reference. They're sticking it to your kids, and you're letting them do it. I hope you're happy. These are people you elected, people that you allowed to take over because they were the lesser two evils. The chairman of the Deficit Commission just told working Americans to drop dead, said Richard Trumka of the AFL-CIO. Are you a union truck driver? Are you in the union, Teamster? Oh, okay. So the head of the Teamsters is saying, AFL-CIO, not the Teamsters, saying, you know, this is going to kill us. Remember the last trucker strike we had? I remember my dad and I going, and I had a shotgun in my lap, and people were throwing bricks at us because we weren't union. It's going to get ugly on the roads, people. For most Americans with job-based health coverage, the biggest change would be to limit or eliminate altogether tax-free status of employer-provided health benefits. They're going to tax everything. They're going to tax what they taxed you on. They're going to tax what you pay in taxes. They're going to increase fees on everything. This next depression is going to bleed you dry. The last one got close. There was talk of revolution in the 1930s. The communists were sneaking in. There was a populist revolution. There was just a good old boy military coup that almost took place. If you don't believe me, study history. I'm not going to hold your hand on this one. So they triggered World War II. You know what triggered World War II? No, it wasn't the Jews being taken hostage and murdered. Nobody cared about that. It was trade embargoes against the Japanese that made them mad that brought us into it. Hitler triggered World War II over an increased war debt and a financial burden that was put on Germany after the Treaty of Versailles. There really was no World War I or World War II. There was just a ceasefire. What did we learn last night? Ceasefires are temporary. Wars are eternal or perpetual. Perpetual. Wars are perpetual. Ceasefires. Huh?
Korean War.
Yeah, it's like the Korean War is still going on. Korean War is just in a ceasefire. Do you know that World War II technically has not ended because Russia and Japan never signed the treaty one another? There is still disputed land, and there is still a state of war existing between Russia and Japan. And in fact, they're fighting over three or four little islands. War is perpetual. Peace is temporary, or treaty, you know, our ceasefires are temporary. You get the concept? They're also calling for an increased overhaul of income tax and corporate tax systems with the idea of lowering overall tax rates, simplifying the tax code, broadening the taxpayer base, but it's all going to be a scam. It's all going to be a scam. They're going to tell you they're going to give you something great, give you halfway to it. They're going to tell you they're going to give you death and then give you partial maiming, and then you're going to be thankful. And I hope you guys are understanding this. I hope it's I'm dutiful enough to make it make sense. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that endlessly increasing debt is not a good idea, Olima says. I have buddies that started a barter group last year, and they are doing good with that, said Scotty. That's true. That's true, folks. Everybody else? Graham 242 is in there. Welcome. It's a low number today for a Thursday. It's weird. After yesterday we were packed. I had all kinds of people coming in here, and everybody wanting to call with their take on what's going on. Oh, it's Stacy. You come in, and I thought I had a message. if you want to call in, 559-561. 8225 559 561 8225. somebody got a hold of our Join the Militia Today video and put it on the web. If you want to see it, go to my MySpace page. And what? That's okay. The pastor's over it, so I'm over it. I know. People don't have permission to do stuff all the time. I don't have permission to play the music I play. It's the way it goes, but my music isn't a private matter. If you guys want to see the video, you can go there and take a look at it. We tried to play it, but we can't play it on here. Maybe they recorded it off of here, because we did play it once on here, didn't we? Let me get back to this. Financially, today was the news. The missile thing is forgotten. You know, the UFO over the White House is forgotten. But everybody's talking about oil, gold. I don't even know what gold's at right now. If any of you know, let me know. But the trade embargo thing is really got me. The trade war. They actually use the term trade war today at the G20 meeting. It started out nice, and it got ugly. And if you study history, this is always how it starts. You can't have the iron and the coal from Alsace-Lorraine, Germany. You can't have access to the sea, Poland. That's all it is. It's always over land and resources. What did I say yesterday? The only real value of anything is land. The paper money, even gold, I'm not that crazy about, even though it's biblical, and I accept that. But a gold brick isn't going to buy me a loaf of bread if there isn't any bread. The world's economies stand on the brink of a trade war as leaders of rich and emerging nations gather in Seoul today. A dispute over whether China and the United States are manipulating their currencies is threatening to resurrect destructive protectionist policies like those of the Great Depression. See, they're putting it in your mindset. Getting you people who are going, what's the Great Depression? I went to public school. That must mean we need to get a lot of Prozac. Let's go stock up on Prozac. No, go study the Great Depression. For those of you that weren't homeschooled or aren't Christians. The biggest fear is that trade barriers will send the global economy back into recession. They put recession, but it really means depression. Hopes had been high that the group of 20, which includes wealthy nations like Germany and the U.S., and rising giants like China, could be a forum to forge a lasting global economic recovery. They want a new world order. They're going to try and do it through G20 if they can. Yet so far, G20 countries haven't agreed on an agenda, let alone solutions to the problems that divide them. G20 leaders were expected to issue a communique detailing results of the summit on Friday. They're all yelling at each other. I think it'd be funny if the president of South Korea just got up and slapped Obongo right across the face.
That would be funny.
It would be great. He needs it. He needs a good old beatdown. The delegates have clashed in particular over the value of U.S. currencies and other nations' currencies. Some countries, like the United States, want China to let the value of its currency, the yuan, it's Y-U-A-N, I don't know how to, rise. That would make Chinese exports costlier abroad and make U.S. imports cheaper for the Chinese to buy. It's all voodoo. It would shrink the United States trade deficit with China, which is on track this year to match the 2008 record of $268 billion. Now, when we've been talking about trillion, $268 billion doesn't sound like a whole lot. That's a lot of dollar store purchases. That's what we're talking about, the junk that China sells us. But other countries are irate over the Federal Reserve's plan to pump $600 billion into the sluggish American economy. They see that move as a reckless and selfish scheme to flood markets with dollars, driving down the value of U.S. currency and driving American exporters, giving them an advantage. Isn't that true? Where did you hear that? I came up with that just on my own little self, and I'm not even, you know, my college degree's in criminal justice, and I figured that out.
Good for you.
Good for me. I didn't have to go to no economic school. Isn't that funny? I think Harvard pumps out all these business, these BAs, these MBAs and all that.
Lawyers.
Well, lawyers too, but they do all these business degrees out, and they're like 47% in debt. They can't figure out where the money went. They can't even run their own accounts, and they're putting these guys out there. Now, Richard Portes, president for the Center of Economic Policy Research in London, said the dim prospect for a substantive agreement, is very dangerous for the world economy. Portes said he fears the possibility that currency wars and global imbalances might lead to severe trade protectionism over the next year or so. So within a year, folks. I'm saying 3 to 4 months, but the experts are saying a year. For now, the G20 countries are expected to agree on non-controversial issues like, you know, the color of the tablecloth, which prostitutes they'll bring into their hotel rooms, you know, that what drugs will be given away free at the buffet. Actually, like an anti-corruption initiative that needs for over the need for oversight in the International Monetary Fund. No kidding, the IMF oversight. What a joke. But they're finding no common ground on the most vexing problem, how to address a global economy that's long been nourished by huge U.S. trade deficits with China, Germany, and Japan. It's a house of cards. Exports to the United States powered those countries' economies for years. They've also produced enormous trade gaps for the U.S. They've been bleeding us dry. Because Americans consume far more in foreign goods and services than they sell abroad. The plan's all right here. This guy's just putting it out there because they don't even care what you know anymore. Now I'm going to finish with this. President Barack Obama told fellow leaders that the U.S. cannot just keep borrowing lavishly and sending its money overseas. It needs other countries to buy more exports from the United States and elsewhere so America can afford to buy other countries' goods. It's like going to our landlord and saying, can you take my TV? I can't pay you this month. Will you take my TV? How about my second youngest daughter? The oldest one's ugly. That's what they're doing. He's basically saying, you guys raped us and destroyed us, now you got to buy from us. But in reality, that was the plan the whole time, to remove your money and put it over into the third world. We're getting ready for a break here. When we come back, I've got something exciting to talk to you about. It's so interesting. You might want to go take a break, get some pretzels or something, sit down. I was talking about the other day the missing piece to the puzzle of when they're pre-placing all of their FEMA materials all around the United States. It didn't make sense. They didn't have the resources. Well, the missing piece of the puzzle fell in my lap today from a whistleblower. And I'm going to share with you for the next half hour, maybe the next hour and a half, what that is. We'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. Stick around. You're going to like to hear what you're going to hear from me or something. I don't know.
Thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, I sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. But since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, nor subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied. Because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down, lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. Cause when the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout
You vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize their sweet brides as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-207.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
In Canada, they have a lottery.
In Canada, they have a lottery. You're saying, Lou, that we can solve our problems with a lottery?
Yes.
That's what you're saying. That's what Glenn Beck wants to do. He wants to have a lottery. I think he's talking about health care.
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, I know you're there. You can't come on my show. You're going to stay over there in the corner like all the other talk show hosts that come in here to learn from me.
What you do for a living.
Yeah, I do this for a living, even though I'm not making much of a living doing it. But you can observe, but you have to stay over there.
Oh, yes.
Don't come near me. Don't touch me. Don't drink out of my glass. And don't annoy the boy. Leave Lewis alone, you weirdo. Nothing to say to that, huh?
No.
No. Okay, good, Glenn. Just get over there. Take your Book of Mormon, your 27 wives, and get out of the way. So this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're coming to you live from the little hamlet of Kaweah in the center of the state of California. If you know where Visalia is, we're just up in the hills above Visalia. If we had a large artillery piece, we could probably hit Fresno. Actually, Fresno's like 70 miles away. We'd have to have a rocket. But then they just claim it was an aircraft. But we come to you Monday through Friday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. or so. We do a little Christian militant radio show. We try to politics, Christianity, entertainment, you know, whatever. If I can make you laugh a few times, that's cool. But most of the stuff is so depressing. But only if you don't get the big picture that we're in this for the battle for our Savior. We're on the right side. Our generals are the good generals. Now, yeah, it's not Swampcast today. It's really me. Yeah, Stacy's a little ill today, and she's grabbing her tummy. That could be swamp gas later. But the things we share with you are not meant to drive you into the hills in fear so that you live in a cave and wait for the Armageddon. We're here to empower you. My phone's starting to make a funny noise. I don't know what it's going to do. But prepare you as best as we can through a little speaker on your laptop or whatever, or wherever you're listening to this. So please, do not have a spirit of fear. That's not what this is about. We wrestle against all kinds of evil, and the good news is even when we lose, we win. We may lose a battle, but we win the war. Well, as you guys know, I introduced to you guys, I think it was last week or this week, some information that I got about FEMA pre-positioning their equipment, their materials, their food, everything, anywhere that they could in all 50 states and 7 territories in the different regions. And I had just a little bit of information at that time, and I was trying to find more information, but I was told, I heard about it from an outside party, then I contacted two FEMA people that I still know, and I can't give their names because they, you know, they end up like me, fired. And it's true, Napolitano, the Butch, Butch 2, another lesbian in charge of people's lives. What is, you know, talk about a reason for our country to be cursed, wants to pre-place all this stuff. Now, of course, you're saying, so we can better serve you. Well, no, it's so we can better reach you. But my question was, this logistically doesn't make any sense. I need some proof behind it, and I found some today. I was, through another third-party person, made contact with a whistleblower, who I'm not going to use his name until I'm thoroughly vetted in him, or vetted him, and I'm going to have this person on, because he sounds like a great resource. If he's listening, he knows who he is. But first in my digging, I found H.R. 645, the National Emergency Centers Establishment Act. This is what's starting. This goes all the way back to January 22nd of 2009. It was introduced in the House. The original text of the bill, I'll read to you here, by its sponsors and submitted to the House for consideration. This is the latest version of the bill, and I found this on GovTrack.us, GovTrack.us. Now, the 111th Congress, first session, H.R. 645, to direct the Secretary of Homeland Security to establish national emergency centers on military installations. Now, if you remember, I said they got to find a use for all these empty military bases that Clinton shut down. Now, Mr. Hastings of Florida from the House introduced this bill, and he's a real piece of work, as the quote was given to me when I was calling around about him today, which was referred to the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, in addition to the Committee on Armed Services, for a period to be subsequently determined by the Speaker in each case for consideration of such provisions. That's the, you know, the how the bill is. Now, what this is, they want to set up emergency centers all around the country, in every state, in every region, population centers, those types of things. Now, it's to be enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled. Now, Section 1, the short title, the act may be cited as the National Emergency Centers Establishment Act. Doesn't that sound good? The National Emergency Centers Establishment Act. We just want to be there for you when flood comes. Section 2, Establishment of National Emergency Centers. In general, in accordance with the requirements of this act, the Secretary of Homeland Security shall establish not fewer than 6 national emergency centers on military installations. Not fewer than 6. I love how it's worded. You can have as many as you want, but you better have 6. The purpose of national emergency centers, the purpose of this center is to provide temporary housing, medical and humanitarian assistance to individuals and families dislocated due to an emergency or major disaster. Now, if you go back to what disaster means, let me do that. Public law, let me find this. Emergency. You got to go to the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act, 42 United States Code 5122. Basically, it says any man-made or natural disaster, including civil unrest, civil war, insurrection, or act of terrorism. So they don't give you the definition of the word, but you've got to know what their words mean. So I went and looked it up in their code. And you can find this. Google here. In fact, I'll give it to you again. H.R. 645. Don't trust me. Do not trust me. You don't know who I am. A couple of you have met me face to face, but don't trust me. You Google this. You read it. You do your own research. Secondly, to provide centralized locations for the purpose of training and ensuring the coordination of federal, state, and local first responders. So they're going to intertwine federal U.S. troops, member NORCOM, with your local, violation of posse comitatus. To provide centralized locations to improve the coordination of preparedness, response, and recovery efforts of government, private, and not-for-profit entities and faith-based organizations. Do you understand what that just said there? What's a faith-based organization? What is it? Churches. To provide centralized locations to improve the coordination and preparedness and response of recovery efforts of government, private, and not-for-profit entities and faith-based organizations. That means they can come into your church, you 501c3s, Because you took money from them to hand out blankets and food, didn't you? You didn't put a shield up. Now, if you use deception, I have no problem with that. But they're going to take over your churches. To meet other appropriate needs and to be determined by the Secretary of Homeland Security. That's number four. To meet other appropriate needs as determined by the Secretary of Homeland Security. Did you vote for the Secretary of Homeland Security? Anybody here vote? Is that an elected?
No, it's not.
Then how does she or he at the time get to decide what the needs of the nation are?
No,
pretty scary, isn't it? Are you guys picking up what I'm putting down here? Are you picking it up? You guys in the chat room, are you picking up what I'm putting down here? They're appointed. They're czars. They call them secretaries, but they're czars. Now get this next part here. Careful what you say on the radio. In general, now remember I told you was, and this is exactly what my intel told me, and now I have the paperwork to back it up. They said she wanted 60 days but gave them 90 days. Listen to this. Designation of military installation as national emergency centers. How many military bases are there all around the United States, especially you in the South and occupied territory? We've got right where I'm sitting, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 within 100 miles of where I'm sitting. Four of them, because I count National Guard, too. And naval weapons stations. Okay, in general, not later than 60 days after this date of the enactment of this act, the Secretary of Homeland Security, in consultation with the Secretary of Defense, shall designate not fewer than 6 military installation as sites for the establishment of national emergency centers. Minimum requirements. A site designated as a national emergency center shall be capable of meeting for an extended period of time the housing, health, and transportation, education, public works, humanitarian, and other transportation of large numbers of individuals displaced by disasters or emergencies. Concentration camps that can hold you for extended periods of time. They need to be environmentally safe and shall not pose a health risk to individuals who may use the center. Remember all the formaldehyde in the trailers? Capable of being scaled up to accommodate major disaster preparedness and response drills, operations, and procedures. Operations. What's an operation? Capable of hosting the infrastructure necessary to rapidly adjust to temporary housing, medical, and humanitarian assistance needs. Number six, required to consist of complete operations command center, that means security, including 2 state-of-the-art command and control centers that will compromise 24/7 operations security and watch. 24-hour security on these facilities. One of the command and control centers shall be in full ready mode at all times, it's saying, and the other shall be used to train. Easily accessible at all times, be able to facilitate handicapped and medical facilities, including during an emergency or major disaster. Now, then they break down into the locations, and as you know, they've broken it down into, there's 9 and 10, there's 10 regions plus the 7 territories. And they've got all those broken down. They don't say where they're going to put them. I wish they had in the bill, but that's your job to find out where they are. Now, preferred designation of closed military installations whenever possible. The Secretary of Homeland Security, in consultation with the Secretary of Defense, shall designate a closed military installation as a site for national emergency centers. If the Secretaries of Homeland Security and Defense jointly determine that there is not sufficient number of closed military installations that meet the requirement, the Secretary shall jointly designate portions of existing military installations other than closed to be used for these purposes. Transfer of control talks about just, you know, the paperwork stuff that they hand them over to Homeland Security. Cooperative agreement for joint use of existing military operations. If an existing military installation other than a closed one is designated as a national emergency center, saying the date, they get to enter into a cooperative agreement. That means basically violating posse comitatus again. And they're saying that these people have to submit in writing what needs to be done to these sites, what type of repair, what the money's going to cost, an outline needed to conduct necessary environmental cleanup of the sites, because a lot of these military bases are nasty. Plan to transfer of control. Outline of I'm reading through all the stuff of this. No later than 120 days after the date of the enactment of this act should this be in place. An update on the information contained in the report is required. All the housekeeping stuff here. And they're saying no later than 1 year. They want the final report that everything is done, that these centers are up and running. Now, I said that there was a real problem because they didn't have logistics. There isn't enough food in FEMA to go to all these military bases. Well, I found out today that a contract is in the works with one of your favorite retailers. Now think about it. Who has the most stores in the world? Who's one of the number one employees in the world? That's the question. Okay, that's the question for today to see if you win bumper stickers in a movie. And I'm going to go back to here, to the chat room. Who can guess, unless I've already told you, I don't think anybody in there has called me today, what corporation, and remember I said corporations are the new kingdoms, is going to get the contract to supply the everything from toilet paper to beef jerky to these things? Oh, Navy Davey got it. It's Walmart. And we can give you personally, so you don't have to mail us your address.
Send them a Pop-Tart.
We'll send them a Pop-Tart, too. We'll get you a gift certificate to Walmart. Walmart is about to get the contract. I heard from a former U.S. congressman today and some whistleblowers. I've been digging around that Walmart's going to get this. Now, I was going to go with Costco. Had I to pick Costco because of the bigger buildings? But then I thought about it. You go here, Porterville, one of the largest buildings in the state, millions of square feet full of food. The food supply in America is only 6 to maybe 8 days long right now. Military can't do it. God knows government can't do it. Oh, Olima got it. Oh, I didn't see Olima got it. Look, Olima got it first. We got to send Olima some videos. And okay, make sure we get – I think we have your address, but we'll have to get it again, Olima. Make sure you email it to dutch@dutchjones.info. We destroy – if we had it before, we destroy those things, so we don't have your addresses. So you send it to us, we send you something, and we keep it for a couple of days and get rid of it. So Olima won. Navy Davey can get a follow-up. We'll give him some videos too. But they're going to use Walmart. Now, be watching in the news for this. Walmart stock is going to start going up because of the insider trading. Pay attention. The congressmen that are involved in this treaty, this contract – They're gonna start doing it. Watch Walmart. I can't say it today. Walmart's stock.
Wally World.
I go to Walmart all the time. I shop at my enemy. It doesn't bother me. So, but that's where it's gonna be. They've got the trucks. How many Walmart trucks you see on the road, truck driver Rocky?
A lot.
Yes.
So
yeah.
So we're gonna have FEMA Camp Supercenters in.
FEMA Camp Supercenters. 24-hour FEMA camps. That's right, Rocky. Good point. And the other thing that's it's going to go. It doesn't matter. They're already doing it, Stacey. The bill is to cover their butts. FEMA is already acting on this. Whether or not Congress votes on this, it's a done deal because it's under the Patriot Act. That's my next point, so I'm glad you said that, Stacey. I don't care if this bill goes through or not. They're like, you know, call your congressman. That's going to go through. The black bag stuff is going to go through. Now, the limitations on statutory construction. Okay, for those of you that aren't in the trade, need to know this. You're saying, well, they can't build because they'll have to go in and get permits and all this. No. The authority of the federal government to provide emergency and major disaster assistance or to implement any disaster mitigation response program, including any program authorized by the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance, or the authority of the state or local government to respond to this emergency. It doesn't affect them. The act does not affect. They don't need to go get permits. They can do whatever they want. They can go do like they did the Japanese and just build tar paper buildings. Now get this. 2009, they already authorized, now let me make sure I count my zeros here, $180 million for this. In 2009, they already allocated $180 million for this, and the bill hasn't passed yet. 2010, they allocated the same amount, and they probably will for 2011. That's to pay for all the gas and the bribes. The thing that they're telling them to look for here is a location. Okay, we've got some of the location requirements here. Located in close proximity to transportation corridors. What did I tell you 3 days ago? I didn't even see this bill, and this is what I said to you. Railheads, freeway interchanges, airports, and seaports. And it's in the bill. It's almost like maybe I am one of them. What if I'm a FEMA zombie and I don't even know it? What if it's like MK Ultra and they did something to me? Is located in a state with a high-level threat of disaster-related activities. You know what that means. They'll get out the list of all the patriots again. Is located near a major metropolitan center. So all the big cities, folks. All you, I'm going to say spiderweb here. Is that on my glasses? That's what they're going to look for. And you've got to look up code for Section 42 of the United States Code 5122 if you want to see what a disaster is. Folks, what I do here is serious. I joke around about it, but I understand that it's not me. Just as if a pastor, I'm not a pastor, but if a pastor was given a sermon, he gets the Holy Spirit, comes through him, and he says things sometimes that he didn't plan on. The last 2 weeks, I had not seen H.R. 645, hadn't even heard of it. I heard about H.R. 45 and all the others. I hadn't seen this till somebody called me today, a good listener, and gave me a tip. And then I started calling representatives and people finding out, pretending to be a media guy. Hi, I'm with the, you know, that's okay, deception's good. And I got the truth. I didn't know this was going to happen, but I assumed it would happen. And guess what? It's been the plan long before I came in, 2009. I didn't think about this in 2009, but they've been doing it since 2009. Posted what?
The bill.
Yeah, thank you for posting the bill, Scotty. Now, there's so much stuff going on out there, it's hard to keep track of these things, but I assure you, this is the real deal. Whether they call it this or something else, they're doing it. They're doing it. Stadiums, malls, because they said if they can't get defunct military bases, they can commandeer active military bases. We already know about NORCOM. If you guys don't know about that, the 3rd Infantry Division came back from Iraq. They made them the Homeland Defense Forces, NORTHCOM. If you haven't been listening to the show that long, you need to look it up. Posse Comitatus is out the door. There's already a reactionary military force in the United States. They're already running ads for detainment camp specialists. Refugee relocation specialists. They're still running them in the Army Times, in all these magazines. They're building FEMA camps. If you don't believe it, you're not paying attention. Now, don't go telling your neighbor Bob about it or anything, because they're just gonna freak out. It doesn't really matter. They'll call you nuts. But if you're in a city, you're within their sphere of influence and you're at risk because they will control it. At first, it's going to be, oh, come here for blankets and food and water. That you get more flies with what? Sugar water, honey, sweetness than you do with vinegar, right? So they're going to lure these people in and it's going to be too late. I've seen pictures of these places with swing sets in them. But don't think for a minute they're not going to separate families. You don't believe this can happen? Find a Japanese person that went through World War II on the West Coast. You don't think this can happen? Study the Native American cultures in America. Just because it hasn't happened in the last 50 years doesn't mean it's not going to happen in the next 10.
That's why they had the census.
Stacy said it right there. Why do you think they pushed the census so hard and went after people so hard this time? Why do you think they had a record number of people refusing to do it? Because America's waking up. They're getting nervous. That's why they're turning up the heat. That's why they're increasing the raid on this. They're turning the RPMs up. They're like, whoa, if we don't do it now, maybe they'll wake up before we can do it. Now, I'm here to tell you, folks, if you're in Southern California, Norton Air Force Base, March Air Force Base, I personally was involved as a FEMA volunteer and Office of Emergency Services employee in making sure those sites were available for refugee relocation and inoculation. If you haven't read the Patriot Act, find a copy and start reading it. This stuff is law. Whether it's legal or not, I don't want to argue. They claim it's law. They will hold the guns. They will have the manpower to do it to you. And those who resist will disappear. 1990s, when the United States triggered a war in Bosnia-Herzegovina, the same exact things happened. So when I said it hasn't happened in 50 years, that was a lie. You want me to go down the list? I meant 50 years in America. Kampuchea, those of you that don't know what that is, that's Cambodia when Pol Pot went through with his communist revolution of the youth and killed all those people, 2 to 3 million, and put them in death camps. All over Africa right now, the Muslims and the communists are butchering people and relocating them. The refugee status of the world has gone way up. It's happening today. It's just not happening to white suburbanite soccer moms and NASCAR dads.
Not yet.
Not yet.
They're working on it, though.
The plans are in the way. The thing that's different about America is they don't like to be embarrassed in the world news, so they're going to do everything neat and nice and put a little bow on it. Walmart's going to do it. They're going to employ it. Walmart's going to have to hire new people for this to secure those shipments. It's going to, you know, they'll probably have, what are all those, they'll have Blackwater, whatever they call them now, XE. You know, you'll find out Walmart and XE are probably the same corporation. Yeah, Rocky's asking if they'll have the little happy faces on their uniforms as they're delivering the food. Have a nice day. You know, get on your knees before I shoot you. Folks, it's interesting information, isn't it? Do you really think this isn't going on anymore? Do you really think it's just a fantasy? It's a myth. Now, unfortunately, we have a low listenership today. I think I scared a lot of people yesterday. I didn't promote the show today like I did. We had a lot of guests yesterday. I went around and posted this thing all over the place. You know, and I was debating people in forums, and I think people came to listen to the freaky guy who said outrageous things and went, uh-oh, I better not keep listening to this guy. He's scaring me. I'm going to wet myself. Or they think I'm an idiot and they don't want to hear it. Either way, that's fine. I can't force people. What are you looking at? Yeah. I can't force people to listen to me. Yeah, I see Olimah put in there, I'm sovereign, they have no jurisdiction over me. Jurisdiction doesn't mean a thing when there's a gun barrel at the back of your head. I say that in a loving way, Olimah, because so many people up here...
Jurisdiction is just a word.
Yeah, if the enemy doesn't play by the rules, it doesn't matter. Like our law people that go into court all the time up here from the church and go, oh yeah, I'm going to show them the law. Okay, they're going to show you a jail cell. I've told you the system's broke. What is lawful and what is legal are two totally different things in America today, folks. Just because how many unconstitutional laws have they passed since 1820? How many? But yet people still function with them. Just like the ammunition law here in California did not pass. It didn't pass, but all the businesses are acting like it did, and that's all that really matters. The enemy wins when businesses say, oh, I don't want to sell any ammo. I don't want to get caught up in that. But it's not a law. It failed. But that's okay. They made a threat, and I follow. I want to be complying. Okay, folks, we'll be back. When we come back, it'll be Liberty Tree Radio. I kind of hit the peak there early. I don't know what I want to talk about in the next hour, so you guys are going to have to call in again. Give us calls. Talk about what you're seeing. We'll be right back after this break.
The captain told us to ford a river. That's how it all begun. We were knee-deep in the big muddy. The big fool said to push on. Well, the sergeant said, sir, are you sure this is the best way back to the base? Sergeant, go on, I've forded this river about a mile above this place. It'll be a little soggy, but just keep slogging. We'll soon be on dry ground. We were waist-deep in the big muddy. The big fool said to push on. Sergeant said, sir, with all this equipment, no man will be able to swim. Sergeant, don't be a nervous Nelly, the captain said to him. All we need is a little determination. Men, follow me, I'll lead on. We were neck deep in the big muddy, the big fool said to push on. All at once the moon clouded over, we heard a gurgling cry. A few seconds later, the captain's helmet was all that floated by. The sergeant said, turn around, men, I'm in charge from now on. And we just made it out of the big muddy with the captain dead and gone. We stripped and dived and found his body stuck in the old quicksand. I guess he didn't know that the water was deeper than the place he'd once before been. Another stream had joined the big muddy about a half mile from where he'd gone. We were lucky to escape from the big muddy when the big fool said to push on. Well, I'm not going to point any moral. I'll leave that for yourself. Maybe you're still walking, you're still talking, you'd like to keep your health. But every time I read the paper, them old feelings come on. We're waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on.
waist deep, neck deep. Soon even a tall man will be over his head. We're waist deep in the big muddy, the big old system chong.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A
new world order. Attention.
The government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
What kind of nut job am I? Will you please tell me?
We're coming back after a little break there. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live from the Commonwealth of Cahuilla, California, right outside the gates of Sequoia National Park, another federal land holding. And we come to you every day from, Monday through Friday, not every day, from 5 to 7 p.m. Our first hour is on DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. And then the second hour, of course, is on LibertyTreeRadio.4AMG.com. And we'd like to thank all those listeners for tuning in there and listening to us. We enjoy the expansion of our audience that way. And we just bring you the Christian militant worldview. Sometimes it's news. Sometimes it's my humble advice on what I'm doing and trying to show people what they can do. In the last hour, we've been talking about, of course, the economy, the embarrassment that Obongo is being over in Southern Korea. and then we talked a little bit about the FEMA camp stuff that I've been talking about. You know, positioning all their food and supplies everywhere. And we, today, through some interviews I did, and I'll be doing an on-air interview if I can get one of these politicos to come on, that Walmart is about to land the contract to supply the food and logistics to keep people alive in these things, because they have, it's already there. They have the warehouses, they have the trucks, they have the personnel. Someone brought up over the break, they're going to have a greeter at the FEMA camp. Hello, thank you for coming to FEMA camp. Is that a return? Can we mark your return? So it's we dealt with that the first hour. If you'd like to hear it, you got to go to DutchJones.info and go to the archives. Give us till later tomorrow or early tomorrow. Or you can just stick around here on U Broadcast, where we're on DutchJones.info, and it will loop until we do another show, hopefully, unless we crash, which does happen. But that's okay. Today I've just spent the day, like I said, calling congressional offices and trying to get information on this bill and all that stuff. So I've been real busy reading articles, and people have been sending me articles. So that's kind of what today's show is going to be. The phone number, if you want to call in, I'll give that here in a minute. Get your crayons ready. Get the Etch-a-Sketch out. What's another way that people could be doing it? Carve it into your cell wall, if you're listening. Use a strawberry on the wall. Rub it on there. Is 559 561-8225. 559-561-8225. And remember, there is so many things going on right now. I'm not trying to give you a spirit of fear. No, I'm not. I'm trying to give you a sense that there are other people out here doing this stuff that have been doing it for a while. People have been doing it longer than me. And we don't have all the answers. Not everything that we point you at is going to be perfect. You have to be discerning on your own and do the research yourself. But don't be fearful. If anything, the only reason I bring these things up is to motivate you into acting in a positive way to protect yourself, your family, your church, and your community. So that's all I care about. This nation, you guys know, I'm done on the nation. That's one place I differ with a lot of patriots. I don't think we're going to come out of this as a whole. I've studied too much history. I've got a realistic view of how God's hand works in a linear fashion, not in cycles. And some things are just cast aside and need be no more, but that doesn't mean that good won't come out of it. So if that means we have, you know, half a nation or four nations or seven nations, that's fine. As long as Christ is prevalent in one, that's where I'll be. So I'm not doing this to scare you. I'm not doing this with some Pollyanna view that everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to be great, because I don't believe that either. I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. Total devastation versus a restoration, somewhere in the middle. And all of it is predicated on the fact that we have a revival in this country. The people turn to Jesus Christ, like I said yesterday, and that's it. It's the only way we're going to solve it. No laws, no guns are going to solve it. There will be tools in the implementation of it, but the real rescue of this nation, or what nation will arise out of it, will be from turning to God, and that's it. So with no further ado, and another hearty welcome to all of our folks listening from Liberty Tree Radio. Thank you for tuning in. It looks, oh, all the guests are popping in there. That's good. That's good. operator, what's the number for? If you call in, we don't screen our calls. We just put you right on. And I just ask that it has something pertaining to the cause of liberty. I mean, if I missed it, fine. You can bring it up. But don't call up and give me a recipe for, you know, Granny's hard apple cider. Unless, of course, we're talking about hard apple cider. Well, as you all know, one of the guys at the forefront, guys in America, is Ron Paul, and I have about an 80% approval rating on him. I like him. He really let me down when he stuck with the Republican Party and then bailed out. So, but his financial stuff I love, and he's just been doing a lot of talk and a lot of action. He's putting his money where his mouth is. He's going to be appointed to a committee. He's going to go after the Federal Reserve. He'll probably end up dead, just like everybody else who went after the Federal Reserve. But God bless them for trying. We don't give up because of fear. That's kind of what I just said. We do what's right because it's the right thing to do. Now, this is from an article. I found actually several different quotes. Fed will self-destruct. Policy deeply flawed, says Ron Paul. Now, this is from November 8th, and this is from CNBC, of all places. We can get our information from the enemy, too. Just make sure you understand how it's written. The Federal Reserve is self-destructing through its efforts to jumpstart the U.S. economy with more monetary easing, Representative Ron Paul from Texas told CNBC Monday. Paul said the Fed's decision last Wednesday to spend an additional $600 billion in quantitative easing, I love those catchphrases, buying treasuries to lower interest rates won't work and will destroy the dollar's value around the world. Remember, monetizing the debt, they just didn't create words. Language means something, so when they have to make up words to describe what they're doing, odds are it's probably deceptive and evil. The Fed can't manage a dollar like this, said Paul. People are going to desert the dollar. And if you've been listening to the show for an hour, I've given you examples where foreign countries are talking about dumping the dollar. I think the Chinese are hinting at that already. We saw that today at the G20 meeting. They're not wanting our dollars as much as they want raw materials and other things. And guess what? We have the raw materials because we don't let people in our country get raw materials off their property anymore. So that's a good formula for war right there. Paul, who is a frequent critic of the Fed, is likely to become chairman of a subcommittee that oversees monetary policy when the new Congress takes over in January, if we make it that long. In an interview last week with CNBC.com's NetNet, oh, I love these names, Paul said his first priority will be to open the books of the Fed. Now, you got to realize, no one's ever done that. People have talked about it, and they've ended up dead. I will approach that committee like no one ever has approached it, because we're living in times like no one has ever seen, Paul said. Problem with Ron Paul is I don't think he has... His intentions are great. His knowledge is intense. And I believe his drive is there. But I don't think he has the backing to force his way in there. Who's going to back him up? Will the military? Will the police? Will the U.S. Attorney General walk him in there? No. I don't think he's going to be able to audit the Fed. I just think it's a non-event. I think he should try, you know, and I think it will help show just how virilely evil the Fed is when he's denied access. Even though Congress can come in, they're going to doors. At the very least, what will happen is he'll get a superficial look at it, and he'll say, this isn't enough. Hegelian dialect at play again. They'll show him some phony books. It won't be good enough for him. They'll drag it out. There'll be hearings. And he'll probably end up dying in his sleep somewhere. In the CNBC interview Monday, Paul was particularly critical of Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke. Bernanke is very clear that what he's going to do, said Paul, he's going to create money until he gets economic growth. And there's no evidence creating money creates economic growth. Fact. I'm with Paul on this one. Look at the currencies, look at the economic systems, look at your base economic systems. If you're trading eggs for bullets and everybody around you starts raising chickens and growing eggs, you're going to have to trade more eggs for bullets, period. The more you produce eggs, the less they're going to be worth. It's as simple as that. Even I can understand that, and I hate math. About Bernanke's statement that he wants 4% inflation, Paul said this. When he gets to 4 and decides to go to 8, there's no way they can stop it. If they withdraw, it might make things worse. They think they have control, but they don't. Again, I differ with Paul on this. There are certain financial spirals that you can't control, but I think they do control everything. I think the evil cabal, the New World Order, I think they have control over the system. I think there's a flush button. I think there's a stimulus button. I think they can do whatever they want with it. Because it's a religion. Money is a religion. The current paper money. I mean, gold and silver are there. They're biblical currency. Fiat currency is a religion, just like science is a religion these days. Paul said the Fed would disappear if it had competition. Okay. There's no need for the Fed. It was a complete vile extortion thing that came into power in 1913 and 1914. The global bankers have always controlled everything. I told you the story yesterday about the Napoleonic Wars. I told you about the Communist Revolution, if you listen to the whole show. The bankers have always been there. They just got smart and figured, hey, let's get the governments complicit in our crime here. Now, he's saying what he would do is legalize competition, he explained. You have competition in the international markets. When China gets fed up with our dollar, they start buying hard assets. So the American people should have the right to do this, he added. We would allow gold and silver to be legal tender, allow us to carry out transactions in other currencies and have it go back and forth. We're already doing transactions in gold and silver here. We're doing transactions in lead and brass. We're doing transactions in milk, eggs, beef jerky, splitting wood. It's already going on. It continues. Eventually, then I think the Fed would just disappear eventually because nobody will want to deal in dollars. Competition to the Fed will make the Fed be more cautious. I've said this over and over again. I've been doing this show like this for over 10 years, different size of audience, different type of audience. But if we don't participate in their financial systems, it will fail. Now, I'm not talking about them coming to your house, kicking in your door, and taking everything you own. That's different. But if you all went to the bank right now and demanded your money, you would collapse the system. Of course, they'd send out troops and everything, but maybe that'd be good. There was a survey done last year by, was it Cato? I can't remember. I'll get the stuff and tell you about it tomorrow. But the gist of it is they contacted the 100 largest banks in the world and said, if 1% of your depositors came in this morning and said, I need all my money, if just 1%, could you do it? Out of all the banks contacted, 100 banks, only one came back and said, we might be able to do it if you only told us 0.5%. The money doesn't exist. The money does not exist. It's reserves. Like this $6 billion is going to be a reserve. It's hypothetical. They don't actually print $6 billion up and then take a truckload of it and dump it in the banks. They just, in a digital sense, say the banks now have the ability to loan this kind of money. It doesn't exist because they're getting to a cashless society. Do you understand that? There isn't somebody sitting on $600 billion. That's why they switched from gold. Gold is tangible. They had to guard it. They had to move it. They had to protect it. They had to seize it. But they just say, oh, now there's $600 billion more dollars. They don't print them up. They do print money on an outrageous rate. Yes, I understand that. It's like the derivative market. It doesn't exist. It just keeps going and going and going. It derives its value from something else, which derives its value from something else. It's a shell game. It goes back to the analogy of the emperor's new clothing. He's naked. There really is no money anymore in the current system. So as great as Ron Paul is, but how do you audit that? How do you audit a giant shell game when there's no P? I love Ron Paul. I think, you know, he's on the right track. But I think this just is a diluted and prolonging of the problem. It would be much better if everybody in America just went to their bank and said, you know what? I want my money and I'm going to go buy cattle. I want my money and I'm going to go buy beans, like they're saying in the chat room. You think I'm naive and ridiculous? What's the point in having a system that's corrupt if we just keep condoning it? It's kind of like the battered wife syndrome. You guys keep wanting to go back to a monetary system that is flawed from the beginning because it's not biblical. Now, I know I'm ruffling a lot of feathers here. I don't want to use fiat currency. I would rather use coins that are made from tangible biblical forms of money. But they're never going to let us do that because they can't control that. Because when you hold the gold in your hand, you hold the gold in your hand. When you have a piece of money, paper that they print, and there isn't even really anything backing it, they hold your money. It's like saying, I own this house. Really? How many more payments do you have? Oh, 25 years. You don't own the house. You own a piece of paper. You own an agreement that you made to enslave yourself for that house. Now, Paul's comments came as World Bank President Robert Zoellick, I like that, Zoellick, a former member of the Bush cabinet, said leading economies should consider employing gold as an international reference point of market expectations about inflation, deflation, and future currency value. There's no such thing as deflation. I keep saying deflation. Like the housing market deflated. No, it's just non-inflation. Things correct. I mean, a dollar cannot be worth less than zero. I know that sounds weird, but it's all part of the menagerie and the magic that they throw at you. A gold coin, even if you bought an ounce of gold today, let's say it's $1,400 an ounce. I don't know what it is right now. $1,400 an ounce, and it dropped to $500 tomorrow. It doesn't matter what the dollar value is. It's still an ounce of gold, and it is still worth what an ounce of gold will get you. Do you understand? Even if it says $500, it'll still buy you $500 worth of stuff. If the dollar comes back and is, you know, and worth a lot, the reason gold is worth $1,400 an ounce is because the dollar's smoke and mirrors. A $20 gold piece will buy you the same thing today that it would buy 100 years ago in material goods, period. End of story, with slight variations because of materials and things. But in a post-collapse economy, a $20 gold piece might not buy you anything. Can't eat gold, can't eat silver. Because that's how they want it to be. They want you to come to them. They want you to go to their FEMA camps to get the stuff. Where you won't be buying it with gold, you'll be buying it with your allegiance and the slavery of your children. So it's great that Ron's doing this. I think it'd be interesting to see what happens. I pray for him that he doesn't get murdered, that he doesn't get killed for doing this. Just think about it. All the same people that are going, yeah, go, Ron, go, are the same guys that are getting corporate welfare checks. The same people that are getting subsidies to not grow wheat. You know, it's everybody's complicit in the system. And when the system's this corrupt, it has to come down. And I don't want to extend it. At the conference I went to a couple nights ago, they're saying, well, it's good that Bernanke's going to put this $1.2 trillion over the next 2 years into the system because it prolongs it. Okay, maybe for those sheep that haven't prepared, it'll buy them some time. But for me, I've done the most with what I have. I'm ready to go live Little House on the Prairie in a sod house with my family and kin. So this other stuff is just distraction. I bring it to you to try and explain to you how this stage play works. The G20 meeting today in South Korea, it's all just a game. They actually invoke the phrase, you know, we're going to do a trade war. And everybody went, we haven't heard that since the 30s, since the 20s. Okay, bring it on. That's what they do. And the sad result is that young men and women are going to die while old men point fingers and make accusations when this thing gets to a shooting war.
And were there any protests at the G20 meeting?
Yeah, there are slight protests, nothing major. You know, anarchists and all that, they don't get what they're doing. Oh, man, I closed the wrong window. I messed up. Let's do it here. Close my Facebook window. That's where I keep all my articles. In case you're wondering, I am on Facebook, and you can join me there, unless you're a Nazi or a... If you're Christian Identity, I'll talk to you. But I had a bunch of Nazis again want to be my friend. I don't know what's going on here. Okay. Yeah, forget that. So, folks, it's nice. To me, it's like a sport. It's bread and circuses, like Chuck Baldwin put out this week. It's bread and circuses to sit here and argue about inflation and deflation and all that. The fact of it is, we're past the tipping point. We can't pay it off, no matter what. You know, Ron Paul's solution was print the big coin, right? Okay, good. But who's going to take the big coin? They're still going to go, uh-uh. We not take a coin. We take a national park. And that's the way it's going to be, period. So rather than put my efforts into getting too upset about it, Carla just posted something on how to use Epsom salts. Thank you, Carla. We'll have to take a look at that. We need Epsom salts. Let's see. Getting some comments here. Okay, that's good. Okay, well taken. Thank you, folks. Let's go back here so I can look at my next article. So, folks, I hope I'm not belittling you for being interested in this. It jogs your mind. It's good to have a knowledge base and understand what they're trying to pull on you. But don't put too much trust in these being the saving graces. Ron Paul is not in that lifeboat that you're going to need to worry about. Because when this goes bad, you're never going to hear from Ron Paul again. He's going to be off in Texas trying to save his family. Right? Or do you disagree with me? If you disagree with me, give me a call. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. Do you think I'm way off? Do you think that we can solve this problem by playing their game? By coming up with... Because their goal is, what they want us to do is play their game, Hegelian dialect, and they're going to demand an internet... Well, that was weird. What's that, Lou? Is that something dangerous?
No.
They're going to demand... I don't know what just happened to my computer, but I got like a weird thing on here. I'm trying to load a PDF file here. Currency Wars for Dummies. I was going to share it with you. Should I do this one?
Yeah.
They're going to demand that we take an international currency, and that's what their goal is. And you know that, and I know that. If you're listening to this show... You've already got that mindset that you know that's their goal. One world order, one world government, one world religion. I mean, at first they're going to start out with, you know, they've already got the European Union. They'll have the Asian Union. They'll have the North American Union. And as long as we play their game, we're just being led by the nose. That's not working either. I'm not going to be able to do my currency for dummies. Okay, how about this one? I got another article here. Great editorial. About the government is broke and there's no way to fix it. So, what do you guys in the chat room think? Everybody's, Batfag was in there. He had to go. I know he's listening off in the distance. He is in there. I said he was in there and he's still in there. Welcome. Boy, we got a lot of guests. Thank you to all the guests. I can only assume you're listening through some other outlet. If you sign in, you can chat. Minuteman's there. Let's see if I got this open here. Here we go. Okay, I got U.S. debt crisis, what not to do when your country is broke. It's a great example here. This is by Bill Bonner from the Daily Reckoning. Another month gone by, another month closer to bankruptcy. Not you, dear reader. We're talking about the U.S. government, but hold that thought. Let's turn down the markets. Not much action. The Dow rose a piddly 4 points on Friday. It was last week. They were down like 100 points today. Investors are waiting to see what happens, what Bernanke's going to do, what the G20 is going to do. And investors are doing weird stuff. Remember I said follow the money, just like we were talking about Walmart getting this contract? Look at Walmart, I can't say it fast, stock, and take a look at what they're doing. And you'll be able to see where things are going to go. Let's see. I'm trying to read through this article. Not really. Boston University economist Lawrence Kotlikoff, sounds like a communist, says U.S. government debt is not $13.5 trillion, which is 60% of current gross domestic product, as global investors and American taxpayers think. Now, I'm not doing this to scare you, but rather $200 trillion. Remember yesterday I dealt with the $45 trillion number just to be nice, which is 840% of current gross domestic product. This is from Let's Get Real, Professor Kotlikoff on U.S. bankruptcy. Now, writing in the September issue of Finance and Development, a journal of the International Monetary Fund, the professor, I'm not going to pronounce his name, says the International Monetary Fund itself has quietly confirmed that the U.S. is in terrible fiscal trouble, far worse than the Washington-based lender of last resort has previously acknowledged. The U.S. fiscal gap is huge, the IMF asserted in a June report. Closing the fiscal gap requires a permanent annual fiscal adjustment equal to about 14% of the U.S. GDP. That's what we make. The sum is equal to all current federal taxes combined. So every penny that we make goes to pay the interest on our debt. The consequences of the IMF's fiscal fix, a doubling of federal taxes in perpetuity, and that would be appalling and possibly worse than appalling. These experts, this guy, you know, I can't even pronounce his name, he's a professor, he's saying it's past the tipping point. The International Monetary Fund is slipping this out. It's saying that to close up the fiscal gap by taxation would require an immediate and permanent doubling of all income taxes, a doubling of all corporate taxes, and all other federal taxes, and an increase in fees, penalties, fines, every way that they can to raise the money. We're going to finish this up when we come back. Not again doing this to scare you. I'm doing this to show you that it's not worth fixing. It's not worth fixing. So let's get out of the stand, stop watching the gladiator fights, and prepare your family. We're going to be back after the break. Asking for your calls again. If you disagree, you guys must agree with me. I must be the brightest man in the world. It's not true. We'll be back after the break.
Would you like to know what fuels inflation every time you buy? Would you like to know who takes the biggest slice out of your pie? It's the Federal Reserve, and I'm here to tell you why. It's not that complicated to explain in layman terms. When something's really rotten, it is sure to crawl with worms. And that something really rotten happened in this nation's past. It's been feeding on our prosperity until now we're sinking fast. Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. How would you like to print up money on your very own private press and loan it out to all your friends at staggering high interest? Bet it wouldn't take too long until you own the whole neighborhood. Well, that's what the Fed's been doing since our Congress said they could. Now our Congress shirked their duty back in December 1913. That's when the value of our money changed from gold to inky green. And when they shrugged the Constitution off, they damned this nation's fate. It was a blatant violation of Article 1 and Section 8. Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. You got the FBI, the FCC, the Federal Trade Commission Agency, and they all have one thing in common, that is they're federal. But here's one thing if you haven't guessed.
There ain't a thing federal about the Federal Express, and the only thing federal about the Reserve is that it's criminal! Now if I was to tell you that we're under martial law, and there ain't no sense in waiting for the final axe to fall, and that the money that we're spending's really military script, would you say that I've gone crazy? Would you think that I've been whipped? Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. No, the Federal Reserve isn't federal.
It's just criminal
at all.
Let's just dump it.
All right. Well, I was going to play just a bit of the song, but, you know, I couldn't help. I couldn't resist.
Oh, that's
having
a terrific
the whole
song.
You like that, Justice Mullins? Yeah. Well, you know, it's catching on. A lot of people like that.
It should catch on because it's something that affects everybody.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out on all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going
to
call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
I mean, you got to do better than that, Lou. We can't hear it. I can't hear it.
Evil, greedy clown.
Evil, greedy clown. Okay, yeah, you gotta sound check all those before you do them. You gotta know how loud they're gonna be. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We're back for our final half hour today on the 11th of November, right? 11th of November. Nobody's giving me a thumbs down, so it must be the 11th of November. It's 6:35 p.m. And we're doing a live show here today. And if you're listening to the recording, you can check us out at DutchJones.info. DutchJones.info. You can go to Facebook and look for Dutch Jones. Make sure you spell Jones, J-O-E-N-S. And you can communicate with us that way. I get a lot of email at dutch@dutchjones.info. dutch@dutchjones.info. Again, J-O-E-N-S. If you'd like your own dutchjones.info email, simply make a donation, $5, whatever, per month, and you can have it. If you make a bigger donation, you get it free. You have to contact Lou, though. I don't know how to do that stuff. lew@dutchjones.info. And he'll set you up with a password and everything. And it's not secure. It's not encrypted. It's nothing fancy. It's just another email for you to use. You know, just don't use it to, like, get your porn or anything, because we don't want that stuff being used like that. Just kidding. We were talking about the financial fiasco and the fact that I believe, and people much smarter than me believe, that it can't be fixed. And all we're doing is prolonging the inevitable. We're dragging it out. Now, some people may say, go down with a fight, keep it going as long as you can, because I need to get my stuff. Well, that's just poor diligence on their part. You know, this clarion call has been going out for years. I, by far, have only been doing it for a short time, and there are people that came long before me that have come and gone. People have been killed for spreading this message. People have been thrown in prison, trumped up charges for spreading this message. I'm not that important. They leave me alone. I thank the Lord for blinding my enemies on that. But the fact of it is that there is evil afoot, and if we're just prolonging it. I'm getting back to this little bit of information here, editorials here that I'm reading, and I'm talking about Professor Kotlikoff, who is a financial guy, you know, an expert. So I'm reading his stuff because I'm not an expert. And he says, America's fiscal gap is enormous, so massive that closing it appears impossible without immediate and radical reforms to its health care, tax and social security systems, as well as military and other discretionary spending cuts. Greece, all over again. They're going to have to stop putting people through school for free, stop feeding welfare moms, stop paying for people to retire early. In fact, there shouldn't even be public retirement. It should be private. You should. If the family hadn't been destroyed, we wouldn't need any of this. Fabian Socialist destroyed the family, all part of the plan, so now we have to rely on the government, and then the next step of the plan is to remove that, pull the blanket or the carpet right out from under us. He goes on to cite earlier calculations by the CBO, which is the Congressional Budget Office, that concluded that the United States would need to increase tax revenues by 12 percentage points of GDP to bring revenue into line with spending commitments. But the CBO calculations assumed that the growth of government programs, including Medicare, would be cut by one-third in the short term and by two-thirds in the long term. A government agency never reduces itself. They never give back. They never, rebuke a law that takes your rights, and they never do away with a tax, really. So when the CBO came up with this, they thought that there would be cuts. Well, they're not cuts. They're saying up to two-thirds. This assumption is politically implausible, if not politically impossible. They're not going to cut benefits. It's like it was once said that a democracy lasts only as long as the people don't realize that they can vote themselves largesse, free stuff, because then they'll just do it until they kill the system. I want a free ride. One way or another, the fiscal gap must be closed. If not, the country's spending will forever exceed its revenue growth, and no one's real debt can increase faster than his real income forever. We're past the tipping point. Now, the professor uses fiscal gap, not the accumulation of deficits, to define public debt. The fiscal gap is the difference between a government's projected revenue, expressed in today's dollar value, not counting for inflation, and its projected spending, also expressed in today's dollar value. By this measure, the United States is in worse shape than Greece right now, today. The only reason Greece has fallen now is it's small enough that it's showing. We're able to move the stuff around. It's like a ripple in a big pond. It takes a while to get to the shore, doesn't it? Now, the professor is a noted economist. He's a research associate at the U.S. National Bureau of Economic Research. He's a former senior economist to Ronald Reagan's Council on Economic Advisors, of Economic Advisors. He says the U.S. cannot end its fiscal crisis by increasing taxes. He opposes further stimulus spending because it will simply increase the debt. But he does suggest reforms that would help, most of which would require a significant withering away of the state. I love that. He proposes that the government give every person an annual voucher for health care, and that's socialism, provided that the total cost not exceed 10% of the GDP. U.S. health care now consumes 16% of the GDP. So for all you people that loved Ronald Reagan, he had socialists working for him right here. He suggested the replacement of all current federal taxes with a single consumption tax of 18%. Consumption tax, for those of you in Orange Cove, that means you only pay taxes on things you buy. You consume them. You don't pay a payroll tax. It's unconstitutional, unbiblical to pay a tax on your labor. He calls for government-sponsored personal retirement accounts, with the government making contributions only for the poor, the unemployed, and the people with disabilities. Well, what happens then? Lazy people suddenly become poor or disabled, and so his system isn't going to solve it either. Without drastic reform, the professor says the only alternative would be a massive printing of money by the U.S. Treasury and hyperinflation. Hyperinflation. Now, Jim Davidson says that the professor is wrong. He's another finance guy that I found. He unaccountably overstates the solvency of the U.S. Jim makes a good point. It's not total GDP output that supports the government. It's just the private sector part. The government part is cost, not a source of financing. So the government never makes a dollar. They don't have a dollar that they didn't take from somebody else. Now, the total fiscal gap, unfunded government obligation, is over $200 trillion. It's about 14 times the GDP. But compared to the real output of the private sector, it's 20 times even larger than that. So if you take all the government stuff out, they fudge their numbers. If this were a more traditional debt burden, it would have to be financed. Interest rates are at a 60-year low, but they could easily be back up to 5% in short order. At that rate, it would take 100% of private sector output just to keep up with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like yesterday, you, me, everybody, grandma, we have $9 trillion. And every bit of our money would have to go to just service the debt. That's 100% of our private output. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's physically impossible for us to do this. The U.S. is already broke, busted, bankrupt, done. They just haven't done the paperwork. It cannot possibly honor any of its commitments. One way or another, it must default. What happens when nations default on things? Think back in history. How did we used to do it?
Oh, but this is the 21st century. We're not going to go to war. China's not going to come over here to take it. The UN's not going to do this. This is what why should the New World Order come in and do anything when they can just use nations against nations?
I don't even want to talk about retirement. The inverted pyramid of the population. Less and less people being born, more and more old people going into retirement. Go look at a McDonald's, how many old people are working? Go look at Walmart, how many old people are working because they can't go in retirement? The only way you're going to be able to survive is don't grow old, don't retire, don't get sick, don't trust the feds, and don't sell your gold, your guns, your bullets, or your food. And if you heard that in the back, Rocky said, well, everybody doesn't speak English. They'll have to bring in employment or workforces from elsewhere. You're going to end up like Argentina. We're already a third world nation. It's all over but the paperwork, folks. Are you ready? Am I insane? These aren't my words. I'm not just some guy up here making stuff up out of whole cloth. I'm finding people that are experts in this. What can't be paid won't be paid, Batfag says. Think about your own household. What's going to happen? What happens to you if you stop making your mortgage payment, your electric payment, you stop buying food? Here, I'm going to tell you what happens. And it'll happen in different orders. If you don't buy food and your neighbors find out about it, the CPS is going to come take your kids for neglect. They'll become slaves of the state, sold into sexual slavery like we've seen around the country. If you don't pay your water and electricity or gas, they turn it off. And your elderly will freeze to death in the coming winter. So they'll get rid of the young and the old. You don't pay your mortgage, even if the sheriff's not going to come around, somebody eventually, a corporate security force, is going to be hired by the bankers to take your property. So they can put these new South American workers in your home to work in their factory, to take the job that you lost for a third the wage, so they can get three people working for one. See you later, Navy Davy, and Robbie Bobby. Talk to you later. It surprises me that most people can't see it with this kind of clarity. If it can happen to your home, it can happen to a nation. If it can happen to a... I've seen communities in California go bankrupt, and the creditors just come and take it apart.
I have. The city of Perris, California, P-E-R-R-I-S. When it went bankrupt, even their police cars were taken by other police departments. You know, banks came in and moved stuff around trying to recoup. And then when it was all auctioned off, they still hit the city with a heavy tax to pay for their debt, even though it got absorbed by the county. Do you think our government, that's not going to happen in the international realm? Well, it's not my government. I want nothing to do with it. I'm pulling out of the, I have pulled out of the economic system as best I can. There's about 10% of me that still uses FRNs. If I can trade an item for another item, I'd rather do it. When you guys send donations in here, we use it to pay the electric bill. We use it to pay the international, or the internet bill, the international bill, the international communications bill. But that's because we still have to with that. In a post-collapse that we're going to see here, there won't be one of these. I'll have Lewis on a bicycle cranking up batteries on a generator so I can reach you on shortwave. And you're going to use your wind-up shortwave receiver to hear me. Bad Fact says, this will end when the corporate thugs or their policy enforcers get shot in the face doing their job. Yep. That's the ultimate pulling out of the system, isn't it, guys? I said, you know, the sheriffs are refusing to evict people, but they're going to send in corporate security to do it. How are you going to come to the door? Standing or on your knees, or are you going to run out the back door? Do you have a place to run to? There's nothing wrong with running if you've got a place to run to. Things are going to get real bad in this country real fast, and I don't think more than 3 to 5% of the people are listening to those of us that are screaming in the woods. I'm not as prepared as I want to be, but I'm better prepared than probably 99% of the general city dwellers out there. People on farms should be okay as long as they're left alone. Rural folk, mountain folk, as long as people leave them alone. But the problem is they're not going to leave you alone. The zombies from the cities are going to go, hey, hey, man. I know where I can go. I'm a bad fag. I'm not even going to say what to do. I'm only doing my job. Yeah. I'm wide awake, folks. I have never felt this perceptive, this willing, this ready to do what needs to be done in my entire life. And I am a fat old man, out of shape, broken, not in my prime, and I am ready for this. I am motivated by scripture, history, and current events to not be a victim and a refugee. The bucket of crabs? Not sure what that reference is. Yeah, society is the bucket of crabs. All fighting it out against one another, and they don't know when the hand's going to come in and take them out and throw them in the pot. Or if the whole pot's going to get dumped in the boiling water at the same time. Well, I'm not part of that bucket of crabs. Nice analogy there. Sorry for hijacking it on you and using it for my own gain. Every day I scare people away, but new people come. They don't like knowing the truth, because I'm not making this stuff up. It's all there. Anyone that has a mind to think and eyes to see can see that this is going on and that we're on a timetable here. God controls the ultimate timetable, but he allows men with free will to act within his limits. Yeah, and the crabs pull you back in when you try to get out. That's right, Batfag. I'm at the point where I'm not in an area where people can pull me back in. By the grace of God, I'm in a place where things can happen that we can survive. But it's not perfect here. But that doesn't mean just because you don't have 40 acres to plow and plant, you know, like we do here, that you should give up. You should still have your seeds. It reminds me of the parable of the two farmers in the Bible. I got to find the verse. I forgot it. But it's a drought. They're praying, both farmers are praying for rain. Then one day one farmer goes out and starts plowing. He goes, and the farmer that was just praying goes, what are you doing? You should be praying for rain. He goes, well, I am praying for rain, but I'm also preparing my field for rain. Are you preparing your field for rain? Are you preparing your family for hardship? Or are you just stuffing them full of Twinkies and ice cream and telling them everything's going to be okay and patting them on the head? Because you're just doing what the New World Order's doing then. You're not being helpful to anyone. pull yourself out of their monetary system, pull yourself out of their school systems, pull yourself out of their court systems. But I got so much I can't lose, I'll risk it. Okay, do it slowly. I'm not asking you to just cut everything at once. God's going to give you enough time, and if you keep making one step out the door, each step is better than being inside the house when it's about to burn, right? Position yourself near a window where you can dive out financially, politically, socially. A lot of people got anchors. They've been yoked, unequally yoked with wives, jobs, debts. Now's the time to be throwing off those yokes, brothers and sisters, and yoking yourself with Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's right. That guy's talking about Jesus Christ on the radio again. It's your call, your free will. Don't shake your fist at God when you're sitting in a FEMA camp and saying, "Why have you forsaken me?" He didn't. He's been putting people in your path for decades to tell you this was going to happen. You don't even have to have eyes to see. A blind man would have seen this thing coming. Anybody that could listen to current events could see this coming. Our society is terrible. It's due for a spanking, whether it comes spiritually, physically, from God, or from other countries. We're due for it. We have made a mess of the world as a species of human beings. We have turned from God. We have turned from one another. We have turned from the church. We have made the church into a den of thieves, whores, and money changers. And the only way to make it right is to scrub the slate clean and start over again. That's right. I am a separatist, a seditionist, whatever word you want to use. Whatever you call me does not make me a wacko. I stand on the shoulders of other great people who have done great things, and I wish I were them. I wish some of them were alive today. Just like the separatists and the Puritans that left Europe because of persecution and the bloodshed that was going there under the queens and kings and monarchs and the church, the evil Catholic Empire. They left and came to a new land with great risk. And you don't have half the guts they do if you're not willing to leave your house and go live in an apartment in a small town somewhere and prepare, or in a cabin somewhere. Imagine what it took to sail to the New World back in the 1500s and 1600s. They're facing they were risking the same things we were, just you don't want to admit it. I like that. If he doesn't do something to America, God I'm talking about, and Batfag brought this up, then God owes an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm here to tell you, he doesn't owe anybody an apology. America is just as bad, if not worse, than those two cities that he destroyed. And I don't know what sword he's going to use, what mechanism. Is it just going to be his finger and poof? Or he's going to bring in the Chinese, the UN? It doesn't matter to me what the Lord does. I'm not going to judge his plan. But I'm going to be here to take care of my family and my people when it happens. So you can sit here and type off emails about how I'm wrong about this, or my percentages were wrong about that, or I'm not using the right Keynesian theory or whatever economic theory, trickle-down economics. It's all minutia. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all a stage play that you've been mesmerized into. You just want to go to the gladiator battles and be thrown your bread and cake and be left alone as long as you get to watch somebody else do the bloody work. And I am sick of sitting by and letting you get away with it. America. America. I'm talking to you, world. I'm not taking part in it anymore. I've pulled out as far as I can and still function. But let me tell you something. There's a very thin tether that has me attached to it, and I can separate it at any moment. That is the difference between unsaved and saved men. A saved man would say, "God owes man nothing." Yeah. That's a good quote. That's a good way of putting it, Batfag. God doesn't owe me anything. He's given me everything I need to survive and have a great life. Perfect joy. I can eat. I can play. I can sleep. I have shelter. I'm not going to shake my fist at God when this goes bad. In fact, I may even thank him for ridding the world of this threat. No matter what the crucible is that we must go through, it's going to be so much better on the other end. And the new nation that we build, and in the coming months, I'm going to be talking about that. I'm going to interview people, I'm going to get ideas, and I'm going to put together what I think, according to diligent study, what the new nation should be like. I don't really care where it is. I mean, it obviously should pick things with seaports and good growing seasons and defendable space. You know, we can't all go to Switzerland. You know, but that's what I'm going to function on and work on in the next several months because it's already done for me. I told you we're past the tipping point. This nation is done. The world economic system is done. It's already been decided by evil men that it's over with. It's just a matter of what their time frame is. Why should I give them any more of my money? I will trade funds with what I can do or with what I have to do to get the materials I need. But other than that, I'm investing in a means of production, food production, fellowship with others. That's why we do this show. I mean, I could just stop doing this show, take, you know, whatever little money I have left and turn it into production. But I know that I'm called to reach out to you. I like that point, Batfag. In the 1800s, it was the age of the missionary. We spread the gospel around this entire globe. Millions were saved. People were lifted. Savages were lifted out of poverty. Disgusting living situations, savagery, animal and human sacrifice. For 100 years, it was the Great Awakening expanded across the globe as white men from America went out and shared and gave the word of Jesus Christ to everybody who would listen. Many of them died doing it. But now, what is America doing now? We send mercenaries around the world to kill and butcher and maim. Some of them are legitimate enemies, but not being done in a godly way. Entangling alliances, meddling in foreign nations, the CIA triggering revolutions for their own corporate masters. This nation is not what it was supposed to be. And to say, well, America must survive, the Constitution must be there. No. No, it's not going to happen. America was here for a brief period in time and man perverted it. The great inventions, the medical advancements, all the things that happen in a brief blink of an eye when you think about eternity. It's time to rebuild and do another nation. When God had Titus destroy Jerusalem, he didn't want it rebuilt. He did not want the temple rebuilt. We go into the abomination of Israel today, but I'm talking about America. Maybe its time is over. I'm not 99.9% sure of that. God could do what he's going to do, and I'm just going to obey. But that's what we do here. We chew the meat and spit out the bones together, folks. We fellowship. If we don't get back to God, if we don't get back to the Bible, more than the nation will be finished, we will be finished as a people. We'll all get called home and it'll be over with. But I don't think it's that time yet. I really don't. I don't think it's time yet. There's still people that haven't heard the gospel. There are still evil men to be smote and to be brought to justice. And the Lord will give us that sword. And he will hand us the right when the time is ready. We will go out and we will go into the land and we will round these people up and they will face justice on earth and then they will face justice before the seat of God. No doubt in my military mind, no doubt in my Christian mind. That's what we as Christian men and women are called to do. And if you like what you hear here, what you hear on this show, keep listening and keep sharing. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for contributing. I want to thank you for taking part in this cause, the holy cause of liberty. Remember, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. Remain coram Deo, the face of God, and we will survive this, if it is God's will. And if we don't survive it, I'll still thank him. I still thank him for choosing us and letting us be part of his great victory. We'll be back tomorrow with Lord knows what. God bless you all. Stay safe.
Say goodnight, Lewis. Say goodnight, Lewis. He's not going to do it.
No.